seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. Welcome in. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Let's get off and rolling. We got a lot going on today. We got a packed show. Three guests. We're going to talk a lot of local. We'll talk some national. We're going to talk baseball. Pitchers and catchers report in 5 days. Can you believe that? 5 days. Everybody gets sad when football ends, and we really get about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks where it's just the NBA, and I'm okay with that because I love the NBA. But not far off is baseball, and I really, really am looking forward to this season. There's a lot to get into. We really haven't discussed the Trevor Bauer deal in LA. I want to get to that. Also want to talk about the news that came out yesterday, that there will be no designated hitter in the National League. We're going back to the old rule. It's a good thing. I assure you it's a good thing. And some of the other big names that are still lurking as far as free agents are concerned, we'll get into that in just a bit. Let's start with a big story in the national sports scene, and the Houston Texans are parting ways with J.J. Watt at his request. What a train wreck this Houston Texans organization is right now. J.J. Watt, one of the most outstanding men in the NFL from a character standpoint. He's dipped a little bit, but he's still very, very good. I'm not going to use the word elite because I think we use the word elite too often, but Watt's a difference maker. There's no doubt. Been with the Texans since 2011. Been the face of the franchise. Defensive Player of the Year award 3 times from 2012 to 2015. And he's one of just 3 players to win that award 3 times. This guy is pretty special. And he's coming off his second 16-game season since 2015 because he's had some really crushing season-ending injuries as of late. But when looking at pass rushers this past season, Watt was 15th out of 119 of them. So according to pass rush win rate, fewer better than him still. By far the most productive pass rusher in Texans history. I'll take it a step further. He's the greatest football player in Houston Texans franchise history. And now he's done. He had 1 year remaining on his contract. He was owed $17.5 million, but the salary wasn't guaranteed. Now he can go wherever he wants. And I'll tell you, the odds-on favorite, it's got to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because TJ and Derek play for the Steelers. And if that's the case, hey, kudos to the Steelers. Kudos to Pittsburgh. It's a class act organization that could land a difference maker. Now, as far as the Houston Texans are concerned, well, it's been a weird offseason. New head coach, new general manager, no more J.J. Watt, face of the franchise. Already got rid of Hopkins, did not get a first-round pick for him, did not get a first-round pick for Jadeveon Clowney when they moved on from him a couple of seasons ago. But hey, you got yourself a nice head coach. He's a good guy. Oh, and by the way, your franchise quarterback doesn't want to play for you either. It's a mess right now. The Texans are in a spot right now where the Jaguars were in, say, 2 seasons ago. Right? And I don't know that David Coley is the guy to pull them out of this. In fact, I'm going to rephrase that. He's not the guy to pull them out of this. He's a fill-gap head coach. But we'll see if the Texans can get it together, at least set up the future in the next couple of seasons. That really is the big news coming out of the national sports scene today. One more news and note coming out of Major League Baseball. They've reorganized its minor league system, 120 teams. And today this was released. So 2 AAA divisions, 3 divisions each for AA, High A, and Low A. 40 affiliates were dropped in 2019, and baseball decided to take care of the 120 that were remaining. They offered a 10-year license deal in September, and all 120 accepted that deal by Wednesday's deadline. So the leagues have not yet been named. Major League owners and Rob Manfred and his staff have not decided whether to retain the traditional names of the leagues, which are the International and the Pacific Coast at AAA, or the Eastern Southern Texas in AA. We don't know anything about that yet, but we do know that Major League Baseball is calling for the minor league groupings, AAA East, AAA West, AA Central, Northeast, and South. I think it's going to be less confusing for a lot of people. I think this is a good thing moving forward. And then the top minor leaguers will probably spend April at the training sites used by Major League Baseball teams. So there's still some work to be done as far as the minor leagues are concerned, but I think this is good news. Obviously, here in the state of Utah, we have the Bees. It gives us a tremendous opportunity to go watch great baseball in a beautiful facility, so I'm glad that this has been worked out. That's a quick look at what's happening at the national sports front. Coming up tonight, the Utah Jazz will take on the Milwaukee Bucks. I know it's a huge contest, but we will air the Emory Senior Night Contest against the Grand Red Devils tonight. Utah will make its next appearance on KOAL tomorrow when they take on the Miami Heat. And then we have the Daytona 500 on Sunday. Sports just dominate KOAL around this time of the year. Let's break for just a moment. Local sports recap coming up. Plus, Coach Jared Butler. We'll also talk to Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dino Squad and everything happening at Carbon High School. And my good friend Steve Bortstein will join me for a conversation about baseball. It's all coming up right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
Today's show, we got a lot of Carbon High School athletics to get into. We'll talk to national sports here in just a bit. We're going to start by talking boys basketball tonight on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Carbon Dinos will take on the San Juan Broncos. Sonny Buscarini and Travis Anderson making that lengthy drive to Blanding. Joining us right now to talk about the game, we have head coach Jared Butler. Coach, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
Coach, I know you got this long drive going on, San Juan tonight. I mean, it's never a fun or easy place to go play. We'll talk about the Broncos in just a moment. But I want to start by talking about the first game this week. It's not easy when you have Richfield and then you have San Juan. And the second go around, we knew exactly what to expect from Richfield. It's a very sound defensive team. And all in all, really, it's an interesting week, to say the least.
Yeah, we knew where they came off those two losses that they, you know, this was a huge game, but it was a huge game for us on the same token. So we knew what we were in for. We had a couple of defensive, just, we fell clear apart. We tried to guard them 2-3 out of bounds. And for whatever reason, we lost left two wide open threes, and they made us pay. You know, there wasn't a guy within 5 feet, and we've been playing that all year. I like that better for our team. We tend to get back picked a lot when we play man under the basket. So anyway, I was upset, and I told my staff, don't let me go to a 2-3 for the rest of the year. And then I watched our film against San Juan, and we played them 2-3 almost the entire game. And we did well against them. So we worked on it yesterday. We'll have to see. I'm probably going to switch up a little bit with our defense tonight. But Richfield just, they take a lot of things away, and that's a great defensive team. But their three offensive threats came to play, and they shot well. All three of them were right around 15 points, and that was trouble for us. But even then, we did a great job on the rebounds. I think we beat them by 12, if I can remember correctly. And, you know, our shot percentage from the three-point line is what killed us. It could have been a lot higher that way, and then they hit, you know, a few more shots than we did, obviously, and that's what it was.
I believe you guys attempted 23 three-point shots in this game, Coach. Is that a good number? Is that where you want it? Is it high? I mean, how do you view the 23 three-point shots, especially against a team that's so sound defensively?
Yeah, that one, we probably were just a hair high, because I could think of two or three off the top of my head that we rushed, especially on a push, unless we find that paint and then get set. I don't mind the shot, but I don't mind us shooting a little higher. I mean, our kids can shoot. We've had this discussion, and I'm done talking to them about it. But we have competitions every day in practice in our varsity squad. You know, they'll usually just destroy the other teams probably 75% of the time. Yet when we come to the games, the JV and the sophomores are shining, you know, and our varsity is in their head. So, but if it continues, we'll have to look differently. But that's just something that we'll just have to check every game and see what happens. But definitely, you know, they do take a lot away from you.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jared Butler of the Carbondale Boys Basketball Squad. And Coach, in this game, this loss against Richfield, I guess it's not a huge deal in the landscape of the region standings. You can kind of throw those out once the region crown is no longer on the table. Losing to Richfield, I don't believe it's going to hurt this team drastically in the RPI. That's what we're going to be waiting for, I know, tomorrow morning. But a loss to San Juan coupled with Richfield could change the RPI. At least that's my thinking.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly where we were. They should have dropped below us with those two losses last week. We lose both of these. We all three were right there at the lower end of being in that top eight spot. So that home play, just more importantly for me, I just like to go into that game, you know, on a note, win or lose, if we play our best game tonight, that's all I can ask for. And obviously, you always like to win, but there were still that few that we didn't do our best at, you know. We just need to step better than that and obviously defend, you know, a couple of those. And I'm not taking anything away. Those three offensive threats they have can shoot off the dribble. They really well from the outside as well as they penetrate. And then you have the two bigs that are strong and they take things away from you. So that's all it does. The RPI is the main thing right there, but you know, more importantly, I like the momentum going into that playing game for ourselves. So we'll see.
Yeah, certainly. Momentum is always a big deal. The last thing you want to do is go into a state tournament on a couple of game losing skids. So, Coach, how do they respond to the loss against Richfield? I mean, it's a team that you guys had success against once already this season, especially on the road. It's not an easy place to go and get a win, and then you suffer a loss at home. What was the response?
After the game in the locker room was tough because we had that first goal. There was still a chance to tie for a region championship if Grand gets knocked off and we can win these two, you know. And once that was out of the way, like you said earlier, then, okay, now we're dealing with the RPI. And then our original goal was to just get to Richfield. You know, we want to get past that playing game, and then anything can happen for us. So we reverted that. We pushed through it. We try to be positive, obviously, and we had a really good practice yesterday. But that's... They've been hard to gauge that way this year. We've had good practices, and then we don't show up. And then there was a couple times, but most of the time we've been working hard, and it's been working out for us. So
we'll go back and we'll talk about San Juan tonight, Coach. This is a team that I become a little bit more impressed with each time I watch them. I know that San Juan typically has not performed well late in seasons, like when we go to the state tournament. They've struggled for whatever reason that is. But as I look at this San Juan team, they just appear to be built a little bit different. I think on the surface you can look at a Nate Grover, a Jensen Grover, and you think, okay, there's their two guys. But quietly, Ladd Ivins can lead this team in scoring. I've seen him put up plus 20 a couple of times. You have Travis Black. The kid definitely has Cooper Black, who has some length and some speed and some size to go along with his ability to handle the ball. I feel like this is a team that is maybe even a little bit underrated, at least in my mind.
Yeah, I didn't. I had them in Richfield being at the top of our region before those two kids moved in from Grand, just because they're so good offensively. It's going to be a totally flipped game tonight where they shine offensively compared to their defense. They're not quite as good as a defensive team as Richfield is, but they have those four threats right there, you know, scoring the way they do. And then, you know, Grover, he's a handful. He's a horse inside. He does a lot of things. He rebounds really well. And they like to get up and run. So, it's a really good basketball team.
Yeah, they really are. And then you throw in the difficulties of going to San Juan. Going back to your days at Emory, and we even have this to talk about from last year, Coach. What makes it so difficult to win in San Juan?
Anytime you can think, I've watched multiple games where officials play a huge role, and I never like to say that, and I never want to announce that to our kids. But I mean, it's obvious you watch it time and time again. But the long trip, but at the same time, they have the long trip going everywhere else, so you can't use that. I mean, our Carbon team played well down there last year, and we hadn't played there for quite a few years that I know of. There's some teams when I was with Emory that would go down there and we would shine, but it is hard. I mean, whether it's the long bus trip or whatever else, the old school gym, whatever it is, I personally like the trip as a coach. I like getting out. I like to play down there, but you know, there's just a few. I don't know what to put your thumb on exactly what it is, but I've watched, and a lot of teams do struggle. You know, a lot of teams go down there through our region, and they protect their home court.
I know Coach Jeff's always referred to it as the barn, and the last couple of times I've gone to San Juan, I've just looked around, and one of the things that drives me crazy is the way the wood on the ceiling is moving opposite of the wood on the floor.
Well, and it's a little darker, too.
Yeah, it is.
Darker, Jim. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. But what do you do? Just lace them up and get after it.
No question. Coach, as far as the RPI is concerned tomorrow, I mean, obviously you can't look ahead now, right? I mean, there is no game to look ahead to. Does that make it easier to focus on a game like this?
Yeah, I think it does. It just seems like that's been happening so much. You get home and you're on the drive home after a win or a loss, and you're thinking about that next game, and some of them are coming the very next day, but it's just been a different year. But that'll be one thing, and then we'll have that full week to prepare, so it should be pretty interesting. And I hadn't heard, Jordan, does it come out Saturday morning?
9 o'clock, yep, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So we'll know 9 o'clock tomorrow if it's a home game, if it's a road game. We'll know the play-in rounds are all based around who's in the play-in rounds. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, that's the one thing about the RPI. Beforehand, the night before the final regular season game, we can look at the regions and see where we're going to go. The RPI does give that element of intrigue.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, like I said, no disrespect if Mesa Prep is listening, but other than that team, man, I could see any team throughout the top to bottom having trouble with any other team. You know,
yeah.
It was interesting to see some of the wins that went down with Grantsville, and you know, they have to play Judge tonight, I think, which is, Judge is a solid team, you know. So South Summit, the way we watch them play, and then it looks like Summit Academy is playing decent, some teams I haven't even seen yet. So it's going to be interesting to see who we end up with and how we go from there. So,
well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. I know you got that long drive, so you guys continue to stay safe. Best of luck tonight against San Juan, and next week when we talk, we can actually start breaking down the state tournament. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. We appreciate your coverage and help.
That's my pleasure, Coach. Thank you. Don't forget tonight, Carbon and San Juan coming up on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Live coverage at 6:30. Tip off at 7. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll come back, talk Major League Baseball. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We've made it to the end of the week, and we're just 5 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. See, that's the great thing. I know it's sad we don't have football until August, but we move out of football, and we basically move right back into baseball. And there's still a lot of intriguing storylines that really have no conclusion yet. in the big leagues. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine, great friend of the show, joins us periodically to talk Major League Baseball and horse racing, a variety of different topics. Steve, as always, it's a pleasure to get you back on. Thank you.
Very happy to be here. Thanks for the time.
Oh, definitely. I know one of the storylines that did reach its conclusion since the last time we spoke, Trevor Bauer. He's now officially a Los Angeles Dodger. He had his presser yesterday.
It was a little, I guess we've become so accustomed now in this day and age to, you know, really microscopically investigate everyone's press conference, whether it was Bryce Harper's. Remember when he moved over and, you know, everyone kind of, you know, we examined, like, we did a prostate exam practically on his press conference when he became a member of the Phillies. And we're kind of doing the same thing a little bit with Trevor Bauer's a little bit. It was a little disconcerting from time to time, but I don't get the impression, and I base this on experiences that I've read about from reporters, whether it was with his time in Cincinnati, even with his time very briefly with Arizona. I never got the impression that Trevor Bauer is a bad teammate. I get the impression that Trevor Bauer is an uber-competitive guy who is very much interested in seeing that kind of uber-competitiveness from the rest of his organization, whatever organization that is. And he doesn't have time for the nonsense and the drivel that everyone else seems to want to make time for. And that's just who he is. And I'm okay with that. Someone equated his press conference, Trevor Bauer's, with the impromptu thing that happened to Randy Johnson when he became a member of the Yankees and he started yelling at a Yankees fan who wanted to take a picture of him on his way to his introductory press conference. Those two things are so completely and diametrically opposed to one another. Randy Johnson was a poison pill by that point. Everyone kind of thought he was a poison pill by that point in his career. I did not see that from Trevor Bauer. I don't think Trevor Bauer's that guy.
Well, this is my take on press conferences, and this goes back to NFL coaches. Adam Gase is going to be a meme forever because of his press conference. What can we gauge from them? Nothing. Okay, absolutely nothing, because I've covered enough press conferences, local all the way up to the national level, if we're talking NBA, minor league baseball. Steve, I know you've done the exact same thing. Here's the bottom line. These press conferences are a minuscule moment in comparison to the deep, thorough studies and logistics that the front office personnel go over before making these hires or signing these players. It's minuscule in that realm. I take nothing from them whatsoever. Nothing.
And I mean, and it's not just the introductory press conferences, right? There's also the post-game press conferences. Remember how viral Cam Newton's press conference became after the Broncos beat the Panthers in the Super Bowl several years ago, and everyone tore into Cam Newton because he didn't answer questions and he was upset and he got vocal from time to time with reporters. Well, if you were in that room at that time, and as we later all found out, like 20 feet away from him, in an adjoining part of that same room where Cam Newton was doing his press conference, were members of the Denver Broncos defense, which had essentially just wrecked his year in the course of 3.5 hours. So how would you feel in that situation when you can overhear someone else's press conference in which they're basically describing every way in which they just wreck your day, and then you have to do a press conference to pretend that's not happening? So they all need to be taken in context. Trevor Bauer's needs to be taken in context. And to your point, Jordan, it's very accurate. It's a microcosm. I am not going to remember, if the Dodgers go on to win 95, 96 games next season, I am not going to go back and go, yeah, but there was that damn press conference that really just, you know, that just chaps my hide. I'm not going to do that.
No, absolutely not. By the way, the Cam Newton, that press conference was funny. Like, still to this day, I laugh over that.
Hilarious.
It was.
It was hilarious.
It was the way that guy acted throughout the entire year. No, it was funny. Again, Steve Bordstein, our guest right now as we talk Major League Baseball and some of the storylines that have dropped. Let's talk about another one, and that's the designated hitter leaving the National League. I was thrilled when this came down the pipe, Steve. I'm not a big fan of the DH, and to be honest, I'm fine with it in the American League. I like that the two leagues differ. And I'll tell you one other aspect. This may sound really weird, okay, but with the DH making its way into the National League, the Cy Young didn't mean as much to me last year from the National League side of things. And I know that's weird because they don't, there's There's no tie in there. It doesn't matter what a pitcher does at the plate. But I just felt like, okay, you know, and it was Trevor Bauer. I guess we can tie it into it. But he was a 50% player last year because he didn't have to bat. It kind of ruined it for me.
And I think also, I mean, we've forgotten that the only reason the DH existed in the National League last year was because it was one of several rule changes that were being made because of the shortened season. It was MLB's desire to protect the pitcher in every way, shape, and form. So going with the same rule that has existed for, what now, nearly five decades in the American League was the universal DH rule. And I'm glad that they decided to opt away from it, and I think it also points a big arrow at why the Dodgers might not have been so persistent in going after hitters in this free agent season during the so-called winter meetings, what have you. Why didn't they do that? Well, because they had a feeling maybe that the DH thing might not be there. And by going after Bauer instead, you lock up the Cy Young winning pitcher. Now, to your point, maybe the Cy Young doesn't mean as much. I think it still did. I think the mentality of a pitcher is such that the hitting is a distraction, right? You know, I have to go up to bat. Oh, it's a pain in the ass, whatever. You know, but I don't think the Cy Young was any less meaningful because there was no batting by pitchers in 2020 in the National League. Nor do I think that their efforts were any less important. So I'm glad we have the designated hitter off the table for the National League, simply because, again, it reestablishes tradition. You and I think, are both the same way. I'm a traditionalist. I'm much older than you, but I like tradition. And tradition means a lot to me. So going back to the tradition here is a good thing. And I know that, you know, there are certain pitchers in the National League, Clayton Kershaw being one of them, who kind of enjoy the batting thing. They do get it. They do kind of enjoy it. So I'm glad we're going back to the original. I'm excited that it won't exist this year because it does create that element for managers, coaches, and trainers to make sure that, hey, you know, we can't really have this guy go that deep in the end. And that's going to be the question also is, does that also change some of the rules as it goes with pitchers and their availability late in games? Are we still going to have, you know, a guy has to get out of an inning, a guy can't just come in, get one guy out in the National League like we did last year? You know, we have to have a guy go three outs. So are some of those rules in game going to change with pitchers?
Yeah, I'll take it one step further as far as the strategy of the game. Go back to last year and let's look at Dave Roberts, a manager that has been just completely ripped apart by the Los Angeles and national sports media, and maybe rightfully so prior to last year's World Series championship. Go back to Brian Snitker. Let's look at Jace Tingler. Okay, how much easier was the game for these three managers knowing the depth that they had at position for position players with a designated hitter? I mean, it was monumentally easier, right? And so all the shortcomings of Dave Roberts over the last 3 years, I think those were minimized by giving him a designated hitter. And I look at the San Diego Padres this year, to your point about the way that the Dodgers didn't really approach bats, knowing that there was going to be no DH. Well, the Padres went completely opposite of that. And when you look at that lineup... Exactly. And when you look at that lineup with a Will Myers... Or what about Cronenworth, who I thought should have been the National League MVP the National League Rookie of the Year, to begin with? When you look at the other bats that they have added, that's a problem for Tingler.
Oh yeah, absolutely it is, because they just essentially became a much better version of the Colorado Rockies, right? I mean, they're that team now. They've got some pitching. But we still don't know the status of Clevinger. He's probably going to miss all of 20. He's going to miss all of 2020. LeMay is still kind of a question mark. So we don't know the status of those guys. Yeah, you've got a ton of bats, but you don't have a whole lot of depth in pitching. You're going to need that depth in pitching. Maybe not the first month of the season, maybe not the first 60 days of the season. But by the time August and September roll around, that lack of pitching depth is going to come out badly for them.
Again, our guest right now, Steve Bordstein, joining us to talk Major League Baseball. Steve, let's talk free agency because, again, pitchers and catchers, they will report in 5 days. Trevor Bauer, Marcell Ozuna, Nelson Cruz, those were the latest wave of the premier players that got deals. I mean, George Springer, JT Realmuto, DJ LeMahieu, they have already signed. So you look at who's left, and there's still a lot of talent out there. And we can start with Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner. I believe he re-ups with L.A. eventually. And Andrew Friedman did say in the press conference yesterday with Trevor Bauer that the Bauer signing would not impact the possibility of re-upping Justin Turner. I have to believe the only reason why they haven't re-upped him yet is because they're apart on the length of the contract. You also have two National League teams that are in on Turner that you have to be aware of, the Milwaukee Brewers and also the New York Mets. Two locations where he could make a big impact, especially in New York if he was to return to the Mets. Your thoughts on Justin Turner?
My thoughts on Justin Turner are that he will re-sign with the Dodgers, and my thoughts on Justin Turner is with all the youth that's on that Dodger organization, Edwin Rios and all the depth they had, Will Smith, the young players on that team. How ironic is it that it's a 36-year-old third baseman that's the guy that's the last, you know, sort of piece of the puzzle here? I'm okay if Turner doesn't re-sign. I think he will, but I'm okay with it if he doesn't. I think Edwin Rios will be able to step up to that challenge. Don't forget it was the home run that he hit in that monumental first inning, I believe it was, in the National League Championship Series where he stepped up and had a great postseason. I think he's ready for this role, but I also think that he'll benefit by having a guy like Justin Turner in the clubhouse. And you and I were having this conversation earlier, is who's the guy in the clubhouse if it's not Turner, if you don't re-sign Turner? And you brought up a name that I hadn't even considered. I was thinking about guys like Chris Taylor, guys like Cody Bellinger, maybe even a newcomer like Mookie Betts. You brought up A.J. Pollock, and I thought that was brilliant because he and Justin Turner, kind of the same guy, cast offs from different teams that bounced around a little bit and found a home in L.A., and I think Pollock would be that guy.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Let's take a look at the best starting pitcher that is still available on the market. Again, Bauer's gone. But if you look at even Tanaka, Marcus Stroman being signed, Steve, I really believe that at this point in time, it's got to be James Paxton. I don't know that there's a better pitcher on the market than Paxton right now, and there are a few teams out there that still need pitching help. We can talk about the Mets, the Phillies. What about the Cardinals? They've been very active. The Blue Jays, we can stick inside the National League West. Not thrilled with what the Giants have as far as the pitching rotation. I know that there's a risk factor here, but I think when you look at the ceiling, I am a little surprised that Paxton doesn't have a home at the moment.
I'm surprised Paxton doesn't have a home at the moment, and I do think some of the teams you mentioned there, particularly San Francisco, would benefit from having Paxton there simply because he does put some stability in what otherwise is a very unstable San Francisco Giants organization. You put a guy like him out there, I think he'd be a natural fit there. He's definitely one of the, I think he's clearly the best pitcher available right now, but where does, you know, how much money is that going to cost someone? Because again, when you go from the Yankees, there seems to be this idea that you're going to have to overpay for someone from the Yankees, right? I mean, that's kind of the rule. If you're going to get someone from the Yankees, you're going to pay a lot of money to get him away from the Yankees. So I don't know if the amount of money that's available to these teams now, the amount of revenue that was brought in, that's been generated, are they going to, you know, what team is going to be able to spend that money? Because once you're a Yankee, then you automatically become part of that overpriced club where guys are going to spend an awful lot of money for a guy from the Yankees just because you wore pinstripes for a year or two.
And I feel like you could really put together a solid team right now just by hitting the open market. I mean, Jake Arrieta, Rick Porcello, Trevor Rosenthal, there are some arms still available. You know, you can go even deeper than that if you want some relief pitching. What about Mark Melancon? What about Rich Hill? What about Shane Green? These guys are all free agents still, and pitchers and catchers report in 5 days. Then if you go to the position players, yes, my friend Yasiel Puig is still available as well. I think he may have played his last. I think, knowing that Jackie Bradley is still on the open market as well, I think it's safe to say that Puig has probably played his last game in Major League Baseball, at least for a while.
Yeah, I can see him. You know, he'll attach himself to what's left of the minor leagues right now. He'll attach himself to a AAA squad, and someone's going to call him up eventually. And he'll be that early season call-up guy that's going to get some at-bats. I could see a team like the Mets going after him because the Mets are a, you know, they're like a Holiday on Parade sort of thing over there. They like guys like that who are going to get headlines and are going to sell jerseys, whatever. And it's a shame because I know your sort of weird love affair, I guess, for lack of a better term, with Yasiel Puig. I get it. I'm so glad that the Dodgers don't have to deal with him ever, ever, ever again.
Well, Mookie Betts helps soothe that pain. Yeah. You know, that's that Mookie guy. He's pretty good. He's pretty good out there in right field.
I want to get your take on something really quickly. I know we're really short on time. The take on the official game baseball now. Now that it's going to be a dead ball now. Does that matter to you at all?
I love defense. I love defense in any sport we're talking about. I'm fascinated by pitchers. I'm fascinated by defensive schemes and defensive coordinators in the NFL. I love low-scoring basketball games. So you want to bring me a dead ball? Please do. I'm there for 2-1 games, Steve. I love them.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, this doesn't bother me. Like, I know a lot of people are fascinated by, you know, the high-scoring games. And to me, that's sloppy baseball. Like, high-scoring games to me are boring, right? I don't care for them. Like, I loved I still remember game 6 of the World Series. It was 3-1. It was 1-0. You know, and then all of a sudden it was 2-1 and 3-1. I'm like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Because I don't want a game that's decided in 6 innings, and I don't want a game that's decided 15-11.
Right.
Be a 3-1 game any day of the week. So if you're going to take a foot or two off a 375-foot line drive, if you're going to take a foot or two off that, and maybe that's a great catch at the wall, then that gives me more opportunities and gives us more opportunities to watch Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts make great plays at the wall again.
Absolutely. I'm here for it. Definitely. Steve Bordstein, again, our guest right now. Steve, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Got a big race coming up this week, actually tomorrow, out in Louisiana, the Risen Star Stakes, featuring a New Mexico-based trainer. I live in New Mexico, right near southwest Colorado, so kind of excited about the Risen Star Stakes tomorrow. Got a preview online at horseracingnation.com. You can also find it by going to my Twitter page and follow me there at Radio Durango SB.
Steve, always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again, hopefully next week.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
Let's pause for another quick commercial break. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Back for one last segment here on Drive Time Sports. One more guest on the show today. Told you it was packed. We talk Carbon High School boys basketball. Let's move over and talk girls basketball. They'll wrap up the season tonight at home against the Grand Red Devils. Joining us to talk about that and more right now, we have Coach Ted Bianco over the phone. Coach, great to hear from you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
definitely, Coach. I know we're down to it. It's been a weird week for the Lady Dino basketball squad now that the season is wrapping up. You guys had a game that was postponed a few weeks ago, and so unlike any other team in the classification, you get 3 region games this week. Picked up a win against San Juan last night, now looking to finish it off tonight against Grand.
Well, unfortunately, we couldn't make that up on the 30th as they were still having some issues with kids with COVID, and rightfully so, they decided to continue to quarantine their team. So the only date really that was feasible for us to make it up was this Friday, and perfect day to have a home game and finish up our season at home tonight. So we're looking forward to that, and that's senior night, obviously, and we'll honor our seniors and our team, and hopefully go home with a win and get ready for the second round of state next week.
We'll start, Coach, by talking about what went down last night, San Juan, and I think from just a sheer confidence standpoint, this has got to be good for the girls. I mean, tough loss to Emory, a tough loss to Richfield. You guys get a return home, and you take on this San Juan team that's not terrible. I mean, I don't think that this is a bad basketball team, but you guys took it to them.
Well, they're a really young team, kind of like we are. But, you know, they lost a lot of good players off their team from last year. And the coach down there, she does an excellent job of getting her team prepared. And they came out, and they were in our face and trying to make us turn the ball over. And we made a few mistakes. We jumped out to an 8-0 lead, and then the next thing I know, it's 11-7, and you know, or starting to pucker a little bit. So the kids responded well, though. They bounced back, finally got some shots to fall, and I got to put a lot of our credit towards our defense, because our defense has been fairly good all year long, and we've made a lot of things happen with our defense. I know there's some out there that don't like the way we play it, but we've won games off of it, and that's what matters most.
Yeah, look, anyone that doesn't like the defense, I'll tell you from a media perspective, anytime I talk with other media members or coaches throughout the state, Carbon is known as a defensive of first squad. I mean, that's your guys' identity, and teams prepare for that. So that obviously means it works.
Right, and, you know, there are teams that we match up with that our style of defense doesn't always work, so we have to try and do something different. But our kids all year long have bought into what we're doing. They're playing hard. They're doing some good things. If we can figure out how to get the ball in the hoop a little bit more consistently, that will help our efforts of winning some of these tough games that are around the corner for us.
Okay, let's talk about that, Coach. Let's talk about what you guys have to do now that we're down to the final regular season game and we'll move into the state tournament next week. Offensively, how much do you have to rely on Maddie Orth? And I know she's a freshman, and the idea is by this stage in the season, you don't want her playing like a freshman, and she doesn't, obviously. But she was really good last night. She's had some really good outings. Is she the focal point of the offense moving forward?
Well, if she's open inside, she has to touch the ball. I mean, that's something that we have to stress with our team over the next 2 weeks. But she also has other parts of her game that I don't think have been explored that much. And she's tried to explore them throughout the season, and she's done a pretty good job. And what I mean by that is going outside and being able to catch a ball on a wing and hit a wide open jump shot. She's perfectly capable of doing that, too. So she's an all-around threat. The big thing is she just needs to have a little bit more confidence with what she's doing. I have no problem with her stepping out and shooting the outside shot. You know, if her ball handling improves a little bit, she can get herself to the hole. She's one of the more special players in the state for her age group, in my opinion. She's come a long way this season, and she's impressed a lot of people that we've played against, and rightfully so, by the way she plays. And then the other players around her have to feed off what she's doing also, because it leaves them wide open for easy baskets or drives to the hoop. And that happened a lot last night. Once we settled down and started to get into a little bit of a flow in the game, you know, some of our other players started picking it up and making some things happen for themselves on offense also.
Yeah, Coach, I've always had the mindset that to win a state championship, once you get to that stage where you got to win 3 games in 3 days, it's got to be a balanced effort. It's so difficult for one individual player to carry that load for 3 consecutive days. And you know this team better than anyone, inside and out. So when you look at it, is that what suits this team, balanced offensive performances?
Well, we've had a lot of balanced offensive performances this year, and we've won a lot of games doing that. Last night, it happened to be Maddie that had the hot hand, and we've got to feed the person that has the hot hand, in my opinion. And if we stop, then that's our fault. As coaches, we got to make sure our kids know, hey, you know, she's 7 for 10 from the field. Give her the ball. You know, and it, last night happened to be Maddie's turn. And if it's Maddie's turn the next night, so be it. Let her have the ball. But I think our kids have generally done a pretty good job of seeing that. There have been a few games that we haven't, and it's hurt us. But once we find that person that's, you know, they've got their thing going, you always have to feed that individual, because if you don't, you're going to go downhill from there. It just doesn't make any sense not to give them the ball.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dino basketball team. Coach, your backcourt is so young. You and I have had multiple conversations about this throughout the year. Have you been able to pinpoint what your young backcourt brings to the table that can cause defenses fits, especially now that we're here at the final game of the regular season?
Well, they're so long. They got long arms, and in our zone, they can almost reach across the zone if they got their hands where they need to be and deflect passes and get steals. And last night, that was the case for most of the evening. We were able to get some good steals up top and then get some runouts to the basket. You know, against some of the better teams we've played against, that's been a little more difficult because the guards that are driving against us are a little bit better passers, they have better eyesight, and they can see better. And they have a better feel for the game. So we have to adjust to that, and we have to make some adjustments so that we can cover those types of players. But I've been really, really pleased with how our length has affected the ability of our zone, for sure.
Coach, let's transition away from girls basketball for just a moment, because you have to wear a lot of different hats. Athletic director, a lot of things have gone on. Drill team just wrapped up their season. I know they advanced to the second day, finished inside the top eight. Very successful season for that group. We have state swimming going on right now. The Lady Dinos are going for their third straight state championship. And we have Coach Prettyman and the wrestlers preparing for state next week on top of boys basketball tonight. Boy, it's a fun time for sure.
It is, and it seems like, you know, we had that 2-week suspension of the sports, and it was like, why this and why now? And then once we started, it's just flowing by. And well, I always tell the kids, don't blink twice, because it's going to be over before you know it. And this year's season has gone by just as fast as any other. So, you know, all of our winter sports have shown a great deal of success this year, and it's been a testament to their ability to come and work out every day and do the things that their coaches ask. You know, getting COVID tested every 2 weeks, that's been something new this year, and they've all been good troopers about it and showing up and gotten it done. And so, you know, I applaud our athletes this year, especially the fall and the winter athletes that have already participated, because they've gone through so much. And, you know, some of them got to miss out on some things last spring, and they've come back with a vengeance this fall and this winter, and it just brings a lot of pride to my heart to see how these kids have reacted to the situations that they've been in.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's a fun time. It's a very busy time. And that's why I'm so appreciative, Coach, of you taking out the time to talk with us and give us the update on things that are happening. Best of luck as you guys wrap up the season tonight against Grant. And hopefully you and I can catch up next week when we know what's ahead in the state tournament.
Well, that sounds like a plan. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Coach. Again, that's Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dinos. And with that, we are out of time on the show today. Coming up 6:30 tonight, it's Emory and Grant on the boys' basketball court. I will see you then. Be safe. I am out.